For you to take your Bibles tonight, and let's start in Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37, this is lesson number 13. We've been talking about the subject of helping people. That, of course, is the subject again tonight. The title of tonight's sermon is Helping People by Increasing Our Patience. Helping People by Increasing Our Patience. Psalm chapter 37. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read one verse here, then we're going to turn to another passage of Scripture and read a couple of other verses that will launch us into the study tonight. Psalm 37, verse number 7, helping people by increasing our patience. The Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Now, turn all the way to the back of your Bible. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. We're going to find verse 2 and 3. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. And I'll read out loud, and you can follow along silently. That passage is Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse 2 and 3. It says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. And let's pray together. Father, bless us tonight. Help us to learn from this simple lesson. God, you are certainly patient with people. And you're the great people helper. And Father, for 13 weeks now, we've talked about helping people, and we've used your ultimate example to help us, that we might help people. Bless the sermon tonight. Help us not to have interruptions, not publicly, nor in the privacy of our minds. Might each of us tell our minds that giving attention to the preaching is the right thing. Help this night to be a productive one. Spirit of God, do a work, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. I said it in my prayer, and I'll repeat it now. Thank God for God's patience. If God were not patient, there'd be none of us doing anything other than burning in hell. So thank God for His patience. But if we're going to help people, we've got to develop our patience. I want to comment on the couple of verses that we just read. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Folks, you're going to, each one of us need to work at waiting patiently for the Lord. And if we will, I think this passage of Scripture here even tells us you will rest better if you will wait patiently for the Lord. Look, sometimes people don't rest, people don't sleep because they fret and they toss and turn because they're not patiently waiting on the Lord. Patiently wait on the Lord. Then we read from Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, where it said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Later on in verse 3 it says, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake. John writes here to the church at Ephesus, and he said, you are known for your patience. Now, that's quite a compliment. There's a compliment there that God is making to those Christians because they are known for being patient. They had a patience. Now, you say, why did they have that patience? Well, it says here, for my name's sake. Now, they worked successfully for God, and they did not faint, the Bible said, but part of that was because they were patient. They were known as patient people, and to add to it, they were patient for God's name's sake. Now, let me tell you why you need to be patient. For the sake of God. You as a Christian wear the name of Christ. As we were told on Sunday, they were called Christians first at Antioch, because they were behaving like Christ. It was probably even a bit of a mocking term at first. You're like Christ. And it developed into the word Christian, the Christ-like ones. Now, folks, we need to be patient. The lack, the absence of patience is an absence of Christianity. We are to be patient, so when people look at us, they say, you're a Christian, and you, in your patience, are glorifying your Master, the Savior. Now, great leadership requires great patience. There are people, as I look across this sea of faces, there are a lot of people in here, you're leaders. But I'm going to tell you something. Hey, it takes great patience if you would like to experience any greatness of leadership. That's just a part of it. Patience with the impatient is a leadership quality. Patience with the impatient is a leadership quality. Somebody's got to do it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient." A lack of patience, according to this, causes strife. And boy, do we already know that. When we are impatient, it causes strife. A lack of patience, of course, it reduces gentleness. If you heard the verse, listen to the verse. "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient." When patience is weak, strife is strong. When patience is weak, gentleness is diluted. We are to be gentle. And I'll tell you something. Whether any of us like it or not, everybody here is a teacher. But some are more so teachers than others. But it said, those that, if you're the servant of God, you're going to be apt to teach, but you have to be patient. Now let me say something. To every mom in here that's teaching, one of the key elements to being a good teacher is patience. You say, "Well, I just want them to get it." Well, that's what you're doing. You're teaching. And you're going to have to be patient. To every dad in here, you have to be patient. If you want to groom, if you have employees and you want to groom them, you want to grow them, you're going to have to be patient. Because patience is one of the primary tools that's used in teaching. So the verse says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient." Patient is a part of being a good teacher. To be a servant, you have to be patient. Let me explain something. A servant patiently waits for the master's orders. Servants don't tell the master what to do. They wait for the master to tell them what to do. What does that mean? You wait. You wait patiently. To be patient. What does it mean? It means to delay your actions and exhibit both internal and external control in what seems to be, at least to you, a difficult circumstance. So what's happening? I am telling myself, both on the inside and the outside, that I need to simmer my horses, relax, and wait until the proper timing for my actions. That's what patience would be. Patience is akin, it's connected some to long-suffering. And you know, I don't know any Christian that has the right amount of patience. We all have to work on this from time to time. And I'll tell you this: when you are an assertive, aggressive, if you desire to accomplish something, you have to work a little extra on your patience. My old pastor said to me one day, he said, "You'll have to calm down. Not everybody wants to conquer the world as quickly as you do." And so I have to work on myself continuously. Poor Mrs. Owens, she's had to put up with the Lord working on me and developing me. Man, if I want to do something, I want it. I want to get it done. Whether I'm working in the yard or working on the house, I tend to want to go get it and get it now and don't delay. And I've just got to work on myself. And all of us have to work on ourselves. And you say, why? For the Lord's sake, for the name of the Lord. Whether we like it or not, patience is an attribute that is expected of good Christians. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." Folks, we're to be patient in spirit. You know, you say, what does that mean? Your attitude. There are some people that'll say, "Okay, fine, I'll be patient, I'll wait right here." That's not patient in spirit. You are saying, you're saying that physically I will restrain myself, but mentally, get on the ball, hurry up! You're not going fast enough, get it done, get it done, get it done, I want it now, I want it now, 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 but I'll wait. You're not patient in spirit. And God said being patient in spirit is virtually the opposite of being proud in spirit. So, now, let me talk to you some about this thing of patience and helping people. But God knows if you don't develop patience, you're not going to help people. And even if you do help people, you're not going to help them like you could. Patience will be necessary. First of all of us have to learn patience in our tribulations. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 12, verse 12. It says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. When tribulation comes, your patience is revealed. When tribulation comes, your patience is revealed. Hardship has a way of stripping off our outer facade and showing us and others the real me, the real you. Hardship will test your patience. Times of hardship often cause us to make fast and wrong decisions. Did you hear what the scripture said there? It said, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation. Now, folks, when hardship comes, if you're not careful, you will make fast decisions, and fast decisions can be wrong decisions. When heartache hits, be careful making fast decisions. I tell people this. I get a call every week of my life where someone is going through a catastrophic event in their life, and this is what I always say to them. Move slow. Don't you be hasty at anything right now. Why? Because you're hurting. You're mad. You've got all sorts of emotions going on. You better kick that patience in high gear, because you will work fast and you'll work emotionally and you'll probably work wrong. You'll do the wrong thing. Fast decisions at the time of burden are usually made in the flesh, not in the spirit. Your gut reaction, if you will. You know, I got to thinking about Daniel. Remember they put Daniel in a lion's den? I have a feeling that patience in the lion's den saved Daniel's hide. You know, the lions did not eat Daniel. That's not because they thought Daniel would not taste good. I think Daniel handled himself in a very collected, calm way. Now, when you get thrown in a den of lions, if here's some of you, you're freakouts. You freak out about stuff, and you go off the deep end, and you go wild. Well, the next time you get thrown in the lion's den, go ahead and freak out, stop running around going, I'm food, I'm food, I'm food, I'm food. They'll come and eat you. You will die. Next time you get thrown in the lion's den, the thing to do is chill out. Calm down. You don't want to make the lion mad, so you relax. Patience during tribulation could save your hide. You see, it's almost as if during tribulation we make more tribulation for ourselves because of our lack of patience. Everybody, when they're hurting and they're in a catastrophe, I'm always just trying to calm everybody down. Keep your mouth shut. Relax. Don't make this worse. Don't add gas to the fire. Let me calm you down. And people, listen to me. We can minimize the destruction during tribulation. But when they don't listen, they make it worse. Secondly, learn patience in your hope. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 15, verse 5. It says, For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Let's talk about patience and that we might have hope. And again, I can help some of you if you'll listen to what I'm telling you. By the way, this isn't all about me training you, although I'm trying to help you by teaching you patience. Remember, the lesson is helping people by developing our patience. But you need to learn this so that you can help others with it. But listen, there's sometimes people become hopeless You know, the result, one of the reasons why people become hopeless is because of lack of patience. They're hopeless because they want it now, but they can't have it right now. So they say, well, I'm never going to get it. Well, that's not what God said. God said, be patient. The Bible here talks about patience as a result of it, that we might have hope. Often, hopeless people are impatient people. Now, what is hope? Hope is a belief that there is good yet to come. And folks, just so you know, if you're alive, then it means that God still has a purpose for your life, which means there is good yet to come. Now, you say, well, when's the good gone? Well, in this life, when you're dead, there's no more that God can do with you, and so there would be the absence of you doing any more good in life. Impatient people lose hope quickly. Now, I wish some of you could be a little more honest with yourself. If you're quick to lose your patience, then you're going to be quick to lose your hope. Because if you got to have it now, but you're not going to get it now, you're going to get that hopeless feeling. But did you know that God's blessing and timetable is not set up on your expectation, is set up on His perfect will? That's why you wait on the Lord. Impatient people panic about their lives and their futures, and it's all over. It's all over. And I've been there. You ever been there where you got hit with a bomb and it's all over? My life's all over. Look, you're going to have that. But some of you have it all the time. You have it constantly. What's the problem? You're impatient. You're impatient. Because if we had patience, we'd have the sense to relax and know that we're still alive. God's still good. There's something yet to come that's good. Well, I want it now. And that's virtually your attitude. God, I want it now. You say to people, I want it now. And it's not, oh, I'm never going to get it. It's all over. No, relax. Patience. Patience purifies hope in your life. So, patience will help you. Patience will help you to help people. You need patience during your tribulation, so you have a good testimony with people, so the panic is not there. You need patience in your hope, because patience causes you to believe there's more good on the horizon. Number three, learn patience in your persecutions. I'll read to you from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations. Folks, when you are being persecuted for Jesus Christ, be patient. I've known people, and some of you that are newer Christians, let me tell you something. You get saved and start serving God, somebody may mock you. They may tease you. You may have so-called friends that turn on you. Well, don't turn on God because somebody turned on you. You watch enough television evangelists and some of the wackos that can be on the radio. They're going to give you this impression. You give your life to God and everything's going to be wonderful and it's all going to be hunky-dory and your life's going to be a bed of roses. What Bible have they been reading? Thank you. But bottom line is, when you go to doing right, the devil is going to try to discourage you. Don't think that because things aren't going your way or somebody's mocking you that, hey, listen, God has not forsaken you and God has not forgotten you. Hey, no, did you know that Noah had to be patient under the persecution of his day for over 100 years, but his deliverance came? Learn to be patient when you're being persecuted. That patience is very important. When it's time for the persecution to stop, it certainly will. But the Bible here mentions persecution and the need to learn patience. Number four, learn patience about God's promises, about His promises. I'll read to you from Hebrews 6:12. It says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In verse 15 of Hebrews 6, it says, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promises. Now, folks, so you all know, God will keep his promises. God will keep his promises. Why? The Bible teaches that God can't lie. God always pays off. Now, not always on your timetable. And see, that's a big part of what patience is all about. You expect everyone and God to work on your timetable. And that's pride. You put yourself in the driver's seat. If you put God and the Holy Spirit and the Bible in the driver's seat, then you'd be okay. But we want it now. We want it in our time. But you're not going to get everything in your time. But when it comes to God's promises, okay, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Could I recommend that you not become impatient about that? You say, but I gave and I still have lack. But you're not dead yet. God promises if you give, he will give back. And just so you know, really, you're never shortchanged. He's already given you more than you deserve and more than you could ever give. But I even believe from here on out, if you give, he'll give. But God don't owe you anything. But he does keep his promises. The Bible says, seek and ye shall find. Okay, be patient. That's a promise of God. You will find. Ask and it shall be given. That's a promise of God. Be patient. That means you must accept his timing over your timing, and his timing is always better than your timing. Don't ever give up on God's promises, but it takes patience. What are these areas the Scripture have told us about? Patience in our tribulation. Patience in our hope. Patience in our persecution. Patience in God's promises. Folks, you're going to need patience when it comes to your faith. James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says this, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. Folks, Dr. Lee Robertson was never a complicated type of a preacher. I wonder how many times I've watched him stand up in his 80s and 90s. He'd take this finger and he'd say, believe God, trust God. That's the sermon tonight. Believe God. Let me tell y'all something. That's not real complicated. Believe God. Trust God. We need patience in regard to our faith. Keep your faith in God. God's not forgotten you. God's not forsaken you. God's not going to shortchange you. You're more apt to forget him, forsake him, shortchange him. Good thing that God is God, or he would have given up on us a long time ago. But he's patient. What right do we, the impatient, have to doubt the one who is perfect patience? And we don't. Weak faith is impatient faith. Does that make sense to you? Weak faith is impatient faith. I'll tell you why I say that. If you said, well, I've got faith. If I can have it today, if I can have what I want today, I'll be okay. But if I can't have it today, I'm not sure I'll be okay. What is that? There's a lack of patience, and it reveals itself in a lack of faith. Learn to exercise both internal and external control while you, by faith, patiently wait on God. Can I tell you all something? It may be that God is helping some of you in a miraculous way, and it might be a little painful as he grows you, but you know God every once in a while puts us in situations where there's nothing that we can do but have faith in God. Some of you go batty when it's like that. So, can I tell you, that's a revelation of walking in the flesh, not walking in the Spirit. You and I need to keep our faith in God. When you, due to a lack of patience, retract your faith in God, you then must place your faith in something. So, when you lose your patience and you retract your faith in God, you're going to place your faith in something. Let's see, what would it be? Oh, it'd be yourself. Well, tell me if that doesn't cause you grief. You better keep your faith in God, because if you don't trust him, you're going to trust you. Do you know you as well as I know you? You're better off keeping your faith in God. But we are to grow our patience in the area of our faith. Number next, learn patience in your prayers. Learn patience in your prayers. Psalm 40, verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Do you understand the psalmist is saying I had to wait on God to answer my prayers? Patiently wait. You know what that means? He prayed, and 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 he prayed. He said, I had to wait patiently for God to answer my prayers. And the Bible says, though, the result was he heard my cry. Now, he kept praying while he was waiting. I think one of the reasons, only one, but one of the reasons why God doesn't answer all our prayers immediately is because sometimes when we have a need, it's the only time that we go spend time with Him. You know that God wants to be with you. I wonder if we would spend time with God when we didn't have big needs, that He wouldn't have to bring big needs to entice us in to where we would spend time with Him. Did you know that you need the practice in prayer anyway? Do you force God to answer your prayers in your time, or you're going to retract your faith, or you're just going to stop asking? Shouldn't be that way. Keep praying for that loved one that needs to be saved. Keep praying for him. When I pastored in West Virginia, there was a gal by the name of Mo Payton. She prayed faithfully for her husband to be saved for 34 years. And I'll never forget, 2 days before he passed away and went to heaven, he prayed and asked Jesus to come in his heart and save him. And Mo, Margaret was her name, but we called her Mo, she was on cloud nine. She said, God answered my prayers. Don't ever stop praying for the right things. You say, I need a miracle. Well, keep praying for your miracle. Don't lose your faith in God, but have patience about your prayers. God knows the best timing. You say, well, I don't like His timing. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. Just trust God. Let me go on. Learn patience in regard to being fruitful in the Christian life. Let me read a passage to you. Luke chapter 8, verse 15, it says, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, so you all understand, everybody here, you're to be fruitful in the Christian life. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You and I are to be winning souls to Christ. We're to be witnessing and bringing people to the Savior. And so, and that's everybody. If you're born again, the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. So we're to be bringing forth other Christians. You say, well, preacher, I've never done it. Now, listen to me. There's some of you, you haven't done it because you don't try. You don't try to get people saved. But you're supposed to be trying to get people saved. But some of you say, preacher, I've tried. I've taken my Bible and I've shown people how to get saved, and I'm just really not getting anywhere. Well, be patient with yourself and your soul winning. Here it said you bring forth fruit with patience. You may witness and you may say, I failed. Now, the truth of the matter is, the person receiving Christ, that's their decision. You just deliver the gospel. So if you'll deliver the gospel, you're not a failure. But you say, I'd really like to hook a fish and get one in the boat. I understand that. What do? You just keep trying. And you keep trying. And you keep trying. And you keep trying. I have a friend. His name is Mike. He was my supervisor when I was working in a machine shop when I was going through Bible college. He was a professional fisherman. He worked at the machine shop, but he had bass boats and he traveled the nation and he would leave for weeks at a time sometimes and join these bass tournaments and everything. What a good life that would be. But he fished and he was good at it. And because Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, I got to talking with Mike a lot about fishing, and he was a professional. He was good at what he did. He made thousands and thousands of dollars a year winning tournaments in fishing. I asked him a question. I asked him one day, Mike, what is the biggest mistake fishermen make? give me a piece of advice that will help any fisherman. He said, you gotta keep the hook in the water. He said, you can't catch anything if you're always pulling that hook out of the water. Can I tell you all something? You gotta keep fishing. Just keep working at it. You say, well, I've witnessed to a lot of people and I've never got anybody saved yet. Try again. Well, I tried again. Try again. And again. And again. And again. And again. And you will, with patience, according to the Bible, bring forth fruit. You say, preacher, I'm trying to build my bus route. What do? Just keep fishing. I'm trying to build my Sunday school class. It's not growing like I'd like to see it grow. Just keep trying to reach people. Now, let me tell you this. God won't do for you what you can do for yourself, so you know. Patience is not laziness. Patience is an attitude. Patience is not a lying around and doing nothing and waiting for God to do everything. Oh, no. No, no. We're going forward. We're doing. We're moving forward. We're doing what we do what we can and then wait patiently for God to do the rest. But if you'll stay faithful, you will, through patience, if you'll stay faithful, you will see fruit in your life. I promise you. Let me move on. We need to learn patience in regard to the doing of right. The doing of right in our lives. I'll read to you from Romans chapter 2, verse 7. It says, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory. Now, folks, you and I are to do right. We're not, the Bible talks about not being weary in our well-doing. Let me help some of you. Be patient with yourself in regard to doing right. I have people come to me often and they say, preacher, there's a sin in my life and I went to work on it and I tried to conquer it and I did okay for a few days and then I stumbled and I fell back into it. And I just kind of gave up. That's where you made your mistake. Be patient with yourself as you're growing yourself. Be patient with yourself as you're correcting sin in your life. One of the things I do in counseling is I'll encourage everybody to succeed and to accomplish everything they can, but when they take steps backward, I don't give them the impression, oh, you blew it, it's all over with, you can never make it. Oh, not at all. Setbacks are normal for sinners. Be patient. Hey, listen, be patient with your husband. You say, he's got some things he needs to change in his life. Every husband does. But be patient. You say, well, he had a setback. Be patient. Be patient with your wife. So, but we were trying and we were making progress, but there was a setback. There's going to be setbacks. Be patient with your children. There'll be setbacks. The Bible said, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing. What does it mean? Somebody was doing well. There was need for patience. Well, why would there be need for patience if they were doing well? Because they're not going forward like we wish. But they can still succeed. Be patient with new converts. Now, folks, you all have to understand, there are a lot of people in here. You've grown in the Lord. I mean, you're learning some things about how to do it and how not to do it and how to act and how to look and how to behave. But if our church does the right thing, we're going to reach some new people that don't know how to do it and don't know how to act and don't know what they're supposed to do. Now, if they walk in that back door and you're impatient with the new Christian, you say, well, look at that, and look at this, and look at how they're behaving. Did you know that's how new Christians act? They don't know yet. And if you're not careful, I have watched churches run the new people off because the new people were not polished. They were an embarrassment. New people are not an embarrassment to me. I'm embarrassed if the church is all cleaned up. Now, you ought to be cleaned up. But I'm embarrassed if you're not reaching new people that don't know how to behave. Hey, I'll tell you what, Brother Young. If all the kids over in Children's Church are ever 100% behaving, we're dropping the ball because we're not reaching new kids that need to grow. If everybody that walks into this church, you say, wow, we ought to take a picture of this. This is polished and pure. We look like a bunch of angels. Well, the angels better get off their lazy rocking horse and do nothing and go reach some people that don't look right, don't act right, don't smell right, and go build some people. The church is not supposed to be a museum. It's a hospital. That doesn't give you the right to be sick, but we ought to be reaching sick people. So, be patient with the Christians, and be patient with new Christians, and with children especially. Be patient. Did you know that everybody you know is in an era of life in which they've never been before? Let me say that again. Everybody you know is in an era of life that they've never been in before. So they need someone to be patient with them in this era of life. Let me give you one more point, and you be patient with me through this one. We must learn patience toward all men. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded," Brother Knopfinger, "support the weak, be patient toward all men." And that word "men" there is talking about mankind, so it includes women. God knows it does. All men. Wow. Be patient toward all men. Now, if we include all men, it's talking about leaders. You need to be patient with your leaders. You need to be patient with the followers. There are people in life who are hard people. They're harsh people. Learn to be patient. There are some people that are soft, almost too soft. Be patient. There are people who are loud. Not everybody is soft-spoken like I am. There are people that are too loud, and there are people that are too soft. There are people that are extremely organized, and at times you'll have to be patient with them. There are people that are total scatterbrains, and organization they couldn't spell if they had to, because they'd have to put letters in a certain sequence, and they can't get organized to do it. Be patient. There are young men with whom you'll have to be patient. There are older men with whom you'll have to be patient. There are young women with whom you'll have to be patient. There are older women with whom you'll have to be patient. Folks, you're going to have to be patient with the uneducated. Then you'll have to be patient with the educated. You know, uneducated people, you're trying to tell them something and they can't get it. Educated people, you can't figure out what they're trying to tell you. Be patient with the saved. Be patient with the lost. Be patient with the strong. Be patient with the weak. According to this, it says, be patient toward all men. Patience is not dependent on the object. It's dependent on your behavior and obedience to the Scripture. I'd be patient with her if she would. You'd be patient with her if you were godly. I'd be patient with him if he would. You'd be patient with him if you were godly. You'd be patient if you walk in the Spirit. You'd be patient if you'd take you out of the driver's seat and put God and God's Word and God's timing in the driver's seat. Patience is important to people. You know, another person's weakness may reveal ours. You say, "I'm out of sorts because of them." Okay, you can say that if you want. But it's merely a revelation of your weakness. So, every once in a while, when somebody flipped the wrong switch and you blew your cork, somebody might have done you a favor. So you can take a good long look at you. We always seem to think that our behavior is on the basis of the object that caused it. Your behavior is because of you and your relationship with God. And your obedience to the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. If you didn't get anything out of what I said, some of you would sleep better if you just trust God's timing. Become patient with what God's doing. We can help people by increasing our patience. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The question is simple. If you died tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you're not a born-again Christian, I welcome you to the Savior. We'll have an altar call if you need to be saved. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. But might I turn to those of you that are born again, who here tonight would say, "Preacher, tucked in the Scripture tonight, I seen something. I think God has helped me. I see something that I need to apply to my life in regard to this subject of patience." and I see something that I need to work on. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? I know my hand's up. I've got to work on this. You may put your hands down. We'll have an altar call if you need a moment. Maybe you need to come up here. And let me tell you something. I was speaking recently with somebody about this. Someone said, never pray for patience. Folks, patience is something God told us we need to develop. And the thing of not praying for patience, I think some of you do need to pray and ask God to help you develop your patience. Patience is not a curse. Patience is a good thing. And I know what they mean when they say, don't pray for patience, because that means trying times may come. But you know what? I'd rather go through a trying time and develop spiritually than to avoid the trying times and stay impatient or not right with God. The pianist is going to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? There's some teenagers, there's some brothers and sisters in here that need to exercise more patience at home. Patience with mom, patience with dad, patience with your brother, your sister. One of the biggest causes of impatience is walking in the flesh and not the spirit. Pride has taken over. We have now taken the forefront. We're sitting in the throne that God ought to be sitting in, because we ought to have faith in God, and God's timing is fine. Then he tells us, have patience with all men. Patience during our tribulation, patience during the times of hope, patience in persecution, and patience in his promises, and patience in our faith and in our prayers. Patience about becoming fruitful. Patience in doing right. Just patience toward all men, the scripture says. Patience is a key element if you're going to be the right kind of mom or the right kind of dad. You want a decent marriage, it's going to take patience. He won't do it in your time, she won't do it in your time. Patience if you want the church to grow. Patience. Remember, patience is not laziness. Patience is faith in a proper timing. This is the last time through the song. God bless you. Go ahead and have a seat there, folks, and let me ask if you need a copy.